In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. About 700 to 800 years before Christ was born, God made use of Jonas the prophet to preach penance to the Gentiles of the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire and was located around where today would be about the meeting of the borders of Turkey, Iran, and Iraq. It was a large city. By the computation of some ancient historians, it was about 50 miles round and would have taken about 3 days to walk the streets of. At the time of Jonas's preaching, it might have contained about 600,000 to 700,000 people. And the Assyrians were enemies of the Hebrews. God said to Jonas, "Arise and go into Nineveh, the great city, and preach in it, for the wickedness thereof has come up before me." Jonas was not keen on this task. He knew the mercy of God, and so he feared that if he preached to the Ninevites and they repented, he would be seen as a false prophet when God spared them. Also, being a Hebrew, the Assyrians were his enemies. Jonas attempted to escape this task which God had given him, and so he boarded a ship in the opposite direction, bound most likely for Spain. He was at sea, a storm arose and threatened to destroy the ship. His shipmates reasoned that there must be some cause of this, and drawing lots, the lots fell on Jonas, and they questioned him. And Jonas confessed to them what he had done, and then selflessly he told them to throw him overboard, that they would be saved. They did not wish to do this, and so they strove hard to row back to land. But this failing, they took up Jonas and cast him overboard. Jonas was swallowed, as we know, by a large fish, some say a shark, some might say a whale, where he remained 3 days and 3 nights, according to the Hebrew computation, similar to our Lord, of which he was a figure. By God's will, the fish returned Jonas to shore, and again being ordered to preach to the people of Nineveh, Jonas had learned his lesson and traveled to Nineveh to fulfill the will of God. And we read in the book of Jonas, "And Jonas began to enter into the city 1 day's journey and cried, saying, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed.' The Gentiles heard Jonas' preaching and reacted accordingly," as we read. "And the men of Nineveh believed in God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. And the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose up out of his throne and cast away his robe from him, and was clothed with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published in Nineveh from the mouth of the king and of his princes, saying, 'Let neither men nor beasts, oxen nor sheep, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, and let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth, and cry to the Lord with all their strength, and let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the iniquity that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and forgive, and will turn away from his fierce anger, and we shall not perish?' And God saw their works, that they were turned from their evil way. And God had mercy with regard to the evil which he had said that he would do to them, and he did it not." Thus did God respond to the penance and fasting of these Gentiles, to spare them and to forego the destruction of Nineveh. If these Ninevites, who were pagan, were so prompt to do penance, then what should be the reaction of us Christians? For indeed, our cities and our nations have done great evil and have enshrined wickedness in our very laws. The word penance occurs many times in the New Testament. We read of St. John the Baptist that he came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Do penance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. Again, John the Baptist said, or we read rather of John the Baptist, and seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Ye brood of vipers, who hath showed you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of penance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham for our father. For I tell you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. For now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree therefore that doth not yield good fruit shall be cut down and cast into the fire." We read of the disciples, and going forth, they preach that men should do penance. And we read of our Lord. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Do penance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I came not to call the just, but sinners to penance. Unless you shall do penance, you shall all likewise perish. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance." Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein were done the most of his miracles, for that they had not done penance. "Woe to thee, Chorazin! Woe to thee, Bethsaida! For if in Tyre and Sidon had been wrought the miracles that have been wrought in you, they had long ago done penance in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, shalt thou be exalted up to heaven? Thou shalt go down even unto hell. For if in Sodom had been wrought the miracles that have been wrought in thee, perhaps it had remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." We could continue with many such quotes. The word penance occurs 66 times in the New Testament. But let these words of our Lord suffice. "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they did penance at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas here." We live in a time of comfort. Never before has the world seen so many conveniences. Cars and cell phones. In our nation, we have abundant food, cheap clothing, air conditioning, washing and drying machines, elevators. The list could go on. We live also in a time of great worry, economic difficulty and concerns of military conflict, national and family turmoil. On almost every level, people are beset by worries and fears and difficulties. We live, thirdly, in a time of very great moral degradation. Vice is paraded as virtue, extolled by leaders and celebrities. Unmentionable sins are called the rights of mankind. God is openly mocked and derided, when all he deserves from mankind is gratitude and love. And he deserves that we do penance for our sins. Let us then be the ones to do this. If we do not perform penance, we cannot hope that others will. And if nobody performs penance, then will we not face the judgments of God? Nor has God ceased to call for penance. Constantly he does so through his church, especially at this time of year. And in modern times, through his Blessed Mother. On February 11th, 166 years ago to the day, Our Lady appeared at Lourdes for the first time. And in subsequent apparitions, she gave to us through Saint Bernadette the message, "Penance, penance, penance. Pray to God for sinners." At Fatima in 1917, our Blessed Mother warned men that if they did not amend their lives, God would be forced to punish them by means of wars and other sufferings. There, an angel said to the three children, "Offer God a sacrifice of anything you can, as a reparation for the sins with which he is offended, and as a supplication for the conversion of sinners." Again, Our Lady herself said to the children, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God to endure all the sufferings that he may be pleased to send you, as both an act of reparation for the sins with which he is offended, and as an act of supplication for the conversion of sinners?" This coming Wednesday, we will receive ashes on our forehead in the sign of the cross. The first mention of sackcloth and ashes in the Bible goes all the way back to Genesis, to the patriarch Jacob. We continue a tradition of thousands upon thousands of years. Among the four prayers used in the blessing of ashes, the priest will say, "Almighty and everlasting God, who didst vouchsafe thy healing pardon to the Ninevites, doing penance in sackcloth and ashes, mercifully grant that we may so imitate them in our outward attitude as to follow them in obtaining forgiveness." Will you imitate the Ninevites? Will you do penance to obtain forgiveness for sins? For your sins and for the sins of others. God has blessed us. He has blessed our parish with growth, with sufficient material means, stability, and many devout faithful. He has seen us through the chaos of the modern world to have the true faith. Let us now make a return to God to the best of our ability. Let us sacrifice generously. Let us sacrifice much. Let us sacrifice willingly. Let us sacrifice joyfully. And let us sacrifice, as the epistle and gospel of today's Mass would have us do, with a smile on our face and the love of God in our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.